tonight to open your Bible with me to Genesis 22. And I want you to follow along as I begin reading in verse 1. Genesis 22, verse 1 says, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham, and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took his two young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and took the fire in his hand and a knife. And they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together, and they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven, and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad. Neither do thou anything unto him. For now I knowest that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord, it shall be seen." I want you to take your Bible now and turn back with me, as we were there this morning, to Hebrews chapter 11. And I want you to see what is said here again of Abraham in this passage, Hebrews chapter 11. And I want you to look with me, if you would, at verse 17 through 19. We read, "By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promise offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, That in Isaac shall thy seed be called, counting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure." Tonight I want to take some time and I want to consider the theme of sacrifice. The theme of sacrifice. 10 years ago, I was sitting in my office working on my Wednesday night prayer meeting message when I received a phone call from one of the members of our church telling me of the events that were taking place in New York City. I immediately hung up the phone and I remember running directly through the front door down into our lower level of our home, turning on the TV and beginning to watch the reports of what was taking place on 9/11. We got there in time to watch the second plane crash into the World Trade Center towers. There were no words to really describe the feeling of that day. All that we had known was radically changed in a moment of time. Terrorists had attacked our nation. The terror of that day only increased as we watched both the towers collapse, realizing that within those towers were many lives, thousands of lives, and the hope of recovery would be slim. As we continue to follow that story, as many of you probably did as well on that day, we began to hear of the stories of heroism, of men and women who selflessly ran in that they might save others, they themselves losing their own lives. They made a sacrifice. While we were consumed with that sacrifice that was taking place in our own country. There were others all around the world, but especially here, that were willing to make a sacrifice. For on that day 10 years ago, because of the tragic events in New York, the air space in the United States was closed. And as you know, many were caused to land right here in Newfoundland, especially in Gander. I don't know if you saw the reports this week, but there was a small delegation from Newfoundland who was in Washington, D.C. this week to be honored by a congresswoman from New York. There was the premier along with the mayor of Gander and a few other folks that were selected to go. And there they were honored for the sacrifice that they were willing to make for those who were stranded here. This last week we watched together as a family a piece that was reported on by Tom Brokaw from NBC News that he did during last year's Olympics. And in that story he would recount many of the events that took place and the stories of people's lives affected and the way the folks of Gander and throughout Newfoundland were willing to help those stranded by the events of 9/11. One of the facets of that story surrounded a couple that was on a plane coming back from Europe to New York. They lived in New York and their son was a fireman. It was devastating for them to learn that their son was actually on duty that day, was part of those who rushed in to help others, and there he lost his life. As they would begin to deal with the grief of their son's loss, others in that area would begin to work and minister and help them. They would do all they could to console them. And they gave of all that they could that others' needs might be met. They were willing to make sacrifice. As Tom Brokaw did his piece, he began to talk to those involved in the lives of this family. As he talked to those parents, they asked him about their view of their son and what he had done. And their view of his son was simply this: he believed it was his duty, and anyone else would do the same. As they then talked to those who had given of their time and of their goods and of their homes and of their best of their lives in those days, they asked the people of Gander, "Why would you do these things?" I remember listening to one who would simply say, "Because you would do it for us if the roles were reversed." They were willing to give of a sacrifice. But as I consider their words, as I consider those thoughts, what I realized was they didn't consider it a sacrifice. It was just what you do. And I appreciated those thoughts and words. As a matter of fact, even the mayor of Gander in Washington, D.C. would even say the very same thing some 10 years later. That to them it really wasn't a sacrifice. It's just what you do. It's how we help those who are in need. What makes those stories so compelling and so special in our world today is that they really are rare. Sacrifice is not something that we truly understand in our day. And sacrifice, even amongst the Christian community, isn't really understood. In many ways, we have cheapened the thought of sacrifice. I was thinking this week of some of the things that we call sacrifice. Those things which we think we have done so well because we have given, and we think it's such a sacrifice that we have done. And it really seems to be so cheap a view of such a wonderful concept of a sacrifice. I was thinking this week of how we often consider financial gifts a sacrifice, especially when we give a gift that is over and above the prescribed duty of our tithe. We call that sacrificial giving. In some cases it is. But in other cases it really isn't. We know very little of the sacrifice of the widow that the Lord Jesus spoke of in Luke 21. She who gave her final two mites. She gave all that she had because she wanted to give unto the ministry of the temple. She wanted to give unto the Lord. She gave all that she had. The Pharisees and others of that day would mock her for her two little mites, because they would begin to speak of all that they would give. And the Lord Jesus will look upon her and say, "She has given more than all of these, for they have given out of the abundance of their life." Folks, can we really call it sacrificial giving when we still have more than enough to live as we please? It may be generous, and it may be a lot, but it may not actually be sacrificial. We often give, and we give well unto the Lord, and I'm not here tonight to try to help you to give more to the church. I'm asking you to consider how we view sacrifice. We say we give sacrificially, and maybe we are. I think sometimes what we do is we give generously, but we make sure that we keep enough that we can do what we want, when we want, how we want. We consider service for the Lord a sacrifice. I want you to think about this one for a moment. Sometimes we speak of those who follow the Lord that would travel to a foreign land with the gospel as ones who have made great sacrifices. And truly they are giving their lives, and it is a sacrifice in many ways. We look upon those that have turned down lucrative careers to enter the ministries of those, again, who give of a great sacrifice because they're serving God. You know, anyone that is worth his weight in ministry, those who are rightly serving the Lord, would truly declare it's not a sacrifice, it's our reasonable service. He gave his all for us. He gave his life that we might live. Paul would say, "I thank the Lord that he has counted me faithful and putting me into the ministry." It was not a sacrifice within his mind. It was a joy. It was a blessing that he might give his life, that he might serve others, that they too might be saved. What's tragic is those who would claim it's such a sacrifice and then use such an opportunity to serve their own selves instead of serving the Lord. We talk sometimes about the great sacrifices that we make. Sometimes we consider giving of time and helping others a sacrifice, forgetting that it's God who gives us every day. And the psalmist who said, "Lord, teach us to number our days, that we might use each day for his honor and for his glory." I think sometimes we look at the theme of sacrifice and we misunderstand what is really required of us. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 and 2 reminds us that we are to give our lives a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. To give our life unto the Lord in every way, willing to go where he would lead, willing to give what he would ask us to give, willing to do all that he would require. While sitting in a prison for preaching the gospel, John Bunyan thought about the anguish that his family was enduring because of his ministry. His heart was broken for them, and he would actually say these words, "I saw in this condition I was a man who was pulling down his house upon the head of his wife and children. Yet thought I must do it. I must do it. The dearest idol I have known, whate'er that idol be, help me tear it from thy throne and worship only thee." Tonight I want us to look at Hebrews chapter 11. And I really want to focus our thoughts on verse 17 and the first part of that verse. It says, "By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac." When he was tried, he offered his sacrifice. As we come tonight to Hebrews chapter 11, really those first part of that verse, I want us to see from this how Abraham made his sacrifice. He withheld nothing from the Lord. He gave God his all. On a day like today, many are remembering the sacrifices of men and women made 10 years ago, and rightfully so. We ought never forget those who willingly sacrifice for the good of others. I think it's appropriate tonight that we consider that theme of sacrifice within the Christian experience and within our realm. By faith, Abraham made a sacrifice. He withheld nothing from the Lord. He gave his all. In those words, I think we find a picture of what true sacrifice is. And as we seek to, by faith, live a life that is pleasing to the Lord, I trust we'll be able to, like Abraham, make such sacrifice, that we would be able to give our all and withhold nothing from the Lord. From that verse tonight, I want us to see three things that Abraham refused to withhold from the Lord. Again, it says, by faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. First of all, I want you to see with me tonight that Abraham in his sacrifice refused to withhold his hopes and dreams. We know that Isaac was the son of promise. In Isaac, Abraham had received the fulfillment of God's promise that he made in Genesis chapter 12. We remember that through Abraham, all the nations of the earth would be blessed. Through him, he would be made the father of many nations. And God had promised him an inheritor, one who would be able to continue on. And that was given in Isaac. He was the son of promise. You'll remember, as we even spoke about this morning, that Abraham and Sarah devised a scheme because they weren't able to have children. And there they would have Ishmael through Hagar. But he was not the son of promise. That belonged to Isaac. And in Isaac sits all the promises of God. In Isaac sits all of Abraham and Sarah's hopes and dreams. That which they had longed for, that's what they had been searching for, that which they had been waiting for, was all wrapped up in Isaac. They would realize through him the promise of the seed innumerable. I think that had to be for them a remarkable thought. For a couple who were barren, unable to have children, to be promised of God that they would have a seed innumerable, such as the stars of heaven and the sand of the sea. Isaac was a son of promise. They had hoped, and all that they had hoped for was wrapped up in him. He was the fulfillment of the longings of their soul. No doubt, like any other parent, Abraham and Sarah considered what Isaac's life would be like. He was the son of their old age, and no doubt they had dreams and aspirations for him. They had desires for their son. They understood that he would receive from the Lord all the promises given unto him. He was the culmination of their waiting, their wondering. And they would watch him grow. Yet God now comes to Abraham in Genesis 22 and says, Abraham, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou love, and offer him a sacrifice. What a test and a trial would be given unto him. As they would look upon Isaac, he who was their hope, and he was the fulfillment of their dream and their desire and their wishes, God now says, offer him back to me. Take him, slay him, and offer him unto me. Every time I read Genesis 22, I marvel at Abraham's response. He rose up early in the morning and he saddled his ass and he clave the wood. He grabbed his servants and he grabbed his son and started a 3-day journey on foot. I don't know that I could do that, to be honest with you. But Abraham did. Never hesitating, never wondering, never waiting, never coming back to God and beginning to discuss this matter thoroughly. He simply obeyed God and offered up his son. He was willing to give God his all. All of us today have hopes and dreams. We have aspirations and desires. We all have plans and things that we want to accomplish. I want to ask you tonight, would you be willing to give those things up if God asked? Would you be willing to give up your plans and your ambitions, your goals, your dreams, if the Lord would ask you to do so for Him? Are you willing to give God all? If God came to you, sir, and asked you to give up your plans for retirement and give your life for Him, would you set those plans and dreams aside, those things that you've been working for all those years, that money you've been storing away? And if God said, I want you to give up that plan and follow me yet in another way, would you do so? Would you be willing, sir, to give up the career that you've worked so hard to obtain that you might go and serve the Lord if He would so call? Mom and Dad, are you willing to give up the children that God has given if God would put His life upon them and seek to use them? Would you be willing to give all that God would ask without hesitation, without reservation? Abraham refused to withhold his hopes and dreams that are all summed up in Isaac. But he also refused to withhold his greatest treasure. Again, it says that he offered up Isaac. He was willing to sacrifice that which he loved the most. For Isaac was not only the son of promise, but he was also the son of love. He was the apple of their eye. There was nothing that Abraham loved more than his son. There was nothing that he treasured more upon the earth. I want you to put yourself in the shoes of Abraham and Sarah for a moment. I know we can't imagine what it's like to be 100 years old, but I want you to think, what'd it be like if you had lived that long upon the earth, desiring to have children and not able to have so, and then God promises and finally is given, and you have a son. Imagine what those days must have been like for Abraham and Sarah. Imagine what it was like every morning when they woke up, and as they watched him grow. No doubt it was a home filled with laughter and joy and blessing. What a joy it was to watch him grow and mature. He became the center and the focus of their lives. He was their love. Again, God comes and says to Abraham, take him whom you love and offer him to me. In essence, what God is asking is this: do you love your greatest treasure more than you love me? Matter of fact, if you go back to Genesis 22, we find God declaring this wonderful truth about Abraham. In Genesis 22, in verse 12, as Abraham is now preparing to offer his son, the angel of the Lord cries out and says, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thine only son from me. Abraham, I know you love me more. You were willing to give of your greatest treasure. I want to ask you tonight, what is it that you treasure above all here on this earth? May not want to share that with everybody as to what that is, but we all have something that we greatly treasure. We might treasure our home. We might treasure a possession. We might treasure what's in our accounts. We might be able to say that really our greatest treasure is wrapped up in our family. What is it that we treasure above everything else? By the way, the Bible says that where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. If you don't know where your what is your greatest treasure, just see what your heart is dwelling on the most. Think about what's the center and topic of every one of your conversations. And it'll tell you what you love more than anything else. I want you to think about that greatest treasure. I want you to ask yourself honestly the question, could I give that up if the Lord asked? Or would I withhold that part from Him? One of the saddest things that I think exists today within the Christian community really revolves around the precious children that God has given to us. And one of the things that I have seen over the years that breaks my heart every time is a parent who's unwilling to do as Hannah did and dedicate that child to the Lord, to use that child as He sees fit. The Bible tells us that children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. What we must remember as moms and dads, as parents and as grandparents, is this fact: they belong to Him. They are a blessing given to us by God, but they're His. And many a parent will come at the time of their child's birth, and they'll come and stand in front of a church and the congregation, and they'll give a dedication of that child. But as that child grows, and as they begin to develop that relationship, and their love for them grows, all the more they struggle to let that child go. They struggle to let that child be used of God however He would see fit. I can think of a pastor today, a good man, a godly man. But what breaks my heart is he would have stood for years above his congregation with people that would dedicate their children to the Lord. He would pray over those families. And as his daughter approached and said, "Dad, we're going to begin to leave and we're going to a new place and it would be far away because this is where I believe my husband would have us go," he began to say, "I'm not happy with your decision. We want you here." You know what I thought? What a fool. A man that I have loved and I have respected for years, but in that situation I thought within my heart, what a fool. That child belongs to God. I can begin to tell you of a missionary friend that I know, as he would go to the mission field, his family refused to come and see them off at the airport because mom and dad were angry that they would give their lives to serve the Lord in a foreign land. They refused to give that which was dearest unto them. When they forgot, it really wasn't theirs anymore. Whether it be your children or it be your possession, may I remind you that every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above. It's not yours. It's a gift from God. And we ought to be willing to give that which is dearest unto us. We ought to be willing to give of our treasure. We talk about sacrifice, and we talk about things which to us seem to be so great, but the things which count so much for God, we withhold. Mom and dad and grandmom and grandpop, you need to be willing to give that which is dearest. We as a church ought to be excited if someone would come and say, "We believe God has called us and we want you to be commissioned to come out." And yet I know of churches that honestly are disappointed that those people would leave our congregation to go serve the Lord somewhere else. How foolish. We speak of sacrifice, yet we know so little. The final thing that I see is simply this: he refused to withhold his obedience. The most remarkable thing about Abraham's life is that there was no delay. There was a point in time in Abraham's life where he argued with the Lord. God came and said, Abraham, I'm going to destroy the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. Lord, what if there be 50? What if there be 40? What about 30? What about 20? What about 10? We don't find Abraham doing that now with the Lord. God said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou love, and offer him upon a sacrifice upon a mountain in Moriah that I will show you of. And he got up early and he obeyed. He refused to withhold that part. We would have a tendency to drag our feet. We would want to come back to the Lord. I think we need a little bit of clarification, Lord. Are you sure it was Moriah? Maybe I got that one wrong. So make sure you come back to me with the right mountain, because, and I'll wait here until you make sure it's clear. Did you say Isaac or Ishmael? Well, it's a little easier to give up, Lord. You're probably thinking, I have a number of kids and I got a couple of bees to give up too. I got 5. Sometimes you think about sacrifice. I won't tell you which ones. Not really. Just so you guys know, not really. Okay? You're all safe. Well, maybe. We don't find him laying out a new plan. We don't find him coming out seeking clarification. He simply obeys. You and I are very good at creatively disobeying the Lord. And we have a wonderful way of spiritualizing it, don't we? God calls, and what do we say? Well, Lord, I need to pray about that. Did you know that there are some things in your spiritual life that you don't have to pray about? There are. There are just some things you don't have to pray about. When God calls, we're supposed to obey. We don't need to delay. I learned very early on in my educational years this phrase. Delayed obedience is disobedience. I can't tell you how many times I wrote that down. Delayed obedience is disobedience. When Abraham was called of God, he refused to hold back his obedience. He did what the Lord said completely. What is it that allowed Abraham to live that way? Look again at what it says in verse 18 and 19. We know that by faith he offered up Isaac, he who was the son of promise, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Here's the key, verse 19. Accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Why was Abraham willing to make such sacrifice? Folks, he believed in God. He knew God for who he was. By the way, do you understand that Abraham believed in the truth of the resurrection before the truth of the resurrection was ever revealed to mankind? By faith, he knew his God. By faith, he believed in him. He understood that nothing was too hard for the Lord. He had walked with God all along the way in the little things. And by faith, he was able to continue to follow. We marvel at those who so willingly sacrificed for others 10 years ago. And rightfully we should. Spiritually, can I ask you this question? How can you and I give anything less today? How can we not be willing to give our all to the Lord? Is there anything that he is not worthy tonight to receive from you? He He is willing and deserving of all. And what He asks, we should give. Folks, within our heart, if we can't say, Lord, I'll give You all. Whatever You ask, I will give. Wherever You want me to go, I will go. I'll go where You want me to go, dear Lord. I'll say what You want me to say. I'll do what You want me to do. If we're not willing within our heart to give God all, then we don't understand truly what sacrifice is all about. We spoke last week of the need for consecration within our life. And folks, part of that consecration is a willing sacrifice. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto our God, which is our reasonable service. Today, all across this land and throughout the United States, there has been a memorial and an honoring of those who would sacrifice. In Hebrews chapter 11, we have the same thing in the life of Abraham. One who by faith gave his all for God. And folks, it made all the difference. And it will for you and I as well. What should we withhold from God? Answer, nothing. He is worthy to receive it all. I hope we're willing within our own heart to say, Lord, whatever You ask, I will give. Nothing will I withhold from You. A living sacrifice. That's what God is looking for in this day. And those who are willing to make such sacrifice, God is pleased to call them His people and to be called their God. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You tonight for the example again of Abraham. Lord, I marvel at such a story as found in Genesis 22. I marvel at his willingness to, without reservation, without hesitation, give of his all to God. Because he counted him worthy. And he counted him faithful. Lord, I pray that You would make us a people able to give our all unto the Lord. So, Father, we thank You and praise You for this time that we've had tonight. We commit ourselves unto You. Help us, Lord, to be faithful in all things. In Jesus' name, amen.